Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, welcome. I'm so happy you came across this website. If you're new, there's several resources on this website that I'd like to point you to. First, you're on the sermons, so there's a ton of sermons on this website. Everything's free of charge, meaning you can listen to as many sermons as you want to. Quite a few salvation messages on here. I encourage you, if you're never heard about Jesus, check one of those out. We're going to talk about salvation today too. And I love talking about salvation and the good news of the gospel. It ignites my soul. It puts a smile on my face to tell people what Jesus has done for them, for us, for this world, right? Also, there's a few Bible studies on here, and I post devotionals throughout the week, so you can look over here and you can see some Bible studies and devotionals, and I encourage you to check those out. Of course, all you guys have been listening for a while, thank you for your support, your prayers. I appreciate the prayers when you're doing ministry, regardless if it's on a website or it's in person in a church, or if you're there's a spiritual attack on one's life that truly stands for God's word, and that will increase what you will see as the time grows closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. There will be more attack on men of God and women of God that stand on truth. Why the wider Christianity, or whatever name it may go by before it's over with, that is deviating from God's word will grow stronger and stronger and will push against people like me and like you. And to find you a solid church that's standing on truth, or which are a lot of churches today, they are winnowing because they don't stand on God's word. I don't profess to be a prophet. I don't really profess other than to be a humble man of God. If you really want the label, my ministry is more evangelistic in nature, but I'm willing to be what God needs me to be, and I'm open to His direction always, and I pray that you are too. Now, if you are new to this website, I encourage you to, or if you haven't listened, I preach through the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, preached a sermon maybe a week ago, but it was my last sermon, and it was involving and talking about the ultimate gift, and I kind of want to keep on talking about that ultimate gift. We're going to start out in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. That's 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. If you want to, you know, flip to that verse, that chapter, that verse, we're going to pray and we're going to get into God's word. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to go into your word. Lord, I pray as we go into your word that you guide and you direct me as you see fit. Holy Spirit, move as you need. I know you will direct this sermon, these sermons, this website to those that need to hear it. And thank you, God, for using me in that capacity. Thank you for using the internet, which can be used for evil, for good. That this sermon can go out to anybody on the internet, and I know it will reach who you need it to reach, God. So thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, over me as I go into this, God, and direct me as you see fit. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Give me the words to say to who is listening. If there's somebody who's listening and they hear things that just rubs them the wrong way, God, Lord, I pray they examine their heart and see they to be in the faith, to truly know our Jesus, truly seeking to be a disciple giving it all. All heart, all fire. To go out there into in the byways and the highways to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, to be that light burning, that flicker of hope that's in each and every one of your true disciples in this dark, cold, and bitter world, to have a flicker of hope into somebody's life. And then when they ask, why can we be so hopeful? Why can we be so joyful in these trying times? We can say it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what He done in my life. And I know all the things in this life that may be trying, that may be challenging, it will be over one day. It will be no more. I will truly get to go to my true home, where there is truly no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. This old body will not age no more. I will live forever and ever and ever. Oh, what beautiful days those will be. And that's why I can have hope and joy. Because I know my best life will be when I close my eyes in this life and open them into my true life, my everlasting life in heaven with my Father and all those that went before me. Oh, what sweet reunion and fellowship with people that went before me. Heaven will be so fun. It will be so fun. It will be so much things to do in heaven that our little minds will explode with anticipation. We truly could grasp what God has prepared for those that love Him. Lord, I pray over those that may be during this time of the year, they're struggling. Lord, we pray if they're having suicide tendencies, right? That, Lord, that they don't act on those. We pray over their mind. We pray that a divine intervention of some sort just engulfs their life, that You place whoever You need in their pathway to shed that light and let them know that that is not the answer. For Satan wants their souls. God, put us in the pathway of those that are hurting, that are truly are hopeless. Give us the strength when we learn to lean on Your understanding and not ours. We start understanding we can do all things through You, Christ, that strengthen us. For You're the strength. For when we are weak, You are strong. It's when we think we're stronger and we got this, we start getting in trouble. God, Lord, we pray over those that are feeling the sting of in their health. Maybe in their finances, God, we lift them up to You, God, right now, Lord. We pray. I know I have people on my mind that I pray over, Lord, and we lift those up by name. And I know that whoever's listening to this may have somebody that's on your mind right now, Lord. We lift them up wherever their need may be. We lift them up to You, God. We pray all. The most important prayer is that they come to Jesus Christ and they accept Jesus Christ into their life, and that it changes their life. That He changes their life. Not a fire in them. All-consuming fire. To see beyond this life and to look to the next. Knowing our every day is a blessing. It's not a giving, it's a blessing to be able to reach into somebody's life and tell them about Jesus. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Down that scripture that I mentioned earlier, that's the one we're going to get into. But before we go in there, I just want to talk a little bit, kind of build up to that. But it'll be in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. That's 1 Peter 1 through chapter 1 3 through 5, and basically the sermon's about hope. It's the ultimate gift is the ultimate hope. That is, the ultimate gift is the ultimate hope. Now, I mentioned just a little bit ago, the last sermon I preached with the Holy Spirit's help, of course, because I can use as much help as I can, for He is mighty, I am not. I am weak, but He is strong, amen. And the last sermon that the Lord gave me is the only ultimate gift, and you can go down there, you can listen to that. I encourage you to do that if you haven't yet. And I just want to kind of continue this thought, because we are in December. This is a time this is a great time for us to reach out to those about the ultimate gift. Of course, just not in December, but throughout the year, we can reach out to people. We are supposed to be reaching out. We are supposed to be praying, God, give me somebody to tell about Jesus Christ. And I pray that you are like that. I'm praying that you say, Lord, today is a new day every morning. Give me somebody to talk about Jesus. And I pray that you have this heart, because if you have this heart, you have the heart that Jesus wants you to have. If you don't, then you do not have the heart that Jesus wants you to have. And I want to tell you, my friend, you need to change that today. I know that can be a rough kind of thought pattern, because today most preachers will not tell you that, because they're trying to keep their occupation, they're trying to keep their job. In reality, is a job. It's not truly a calling for them. It's a paycheck. And I want to tell you today, those that are like that, my heart trembles for those guys, because damnation, judgment on their life is beyond what they could ever imagine. I want to tell you today, the ultimate gift cannot be bought at Walmart, at Sam's, at Costco's, Bath and Body Work, Hobby Lobby. Choose a store that you like to shop at. Either online or physical, but the ultimate gift cannot be bought at these stores. The ultimate gift was bought by the precious blood of our Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, my friend, when we look at the cross, we look at that price that was paid for you and me. Jesus Christ done that for us. There's nothing else He has to prove. There's nothing else that He needs to do. The cross says it all. On my bad days, guess what? Jesus Christ gets the glory. On my good days, Jesus Christ gets the glory. Because in the end, when Jesus Christ decides to take me, are you, and I pray that you truly are His to our true home, that is heaven. Oh, what joy. Oh, what peace. Oh, what hope. Oh, what love there will be. And I pray that you have that mindset, because we need that. We need that mindset. This world is not our home. We are just passing right through. And when we do this, we get laser focused on what Jesus Christ needs us to do for that day. We get focused on the calling that He has on our life to reach those around with the gospel, with a salvation message, with a message of hope. The ultimate gift gives us the ultimate hope. And I want to tell you today, do you have this ultimate gift that gives you the ultimate hope? Do you have this ultimate gift that gives you the ultimate hope today, my friend? 1 Peter, our start out verse, our chapter verse here is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. And Peter here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inherent incorruptible, undefiled, and that fade not away, reserving heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. Now, Peter, if you recall, had a lot of learning to do from his physical time with Jesus Christ and throughout the growing of the church in Acts. Remember Peter, the one who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember Peter who chopped the ear off of the person, one of the persons that were trying to take Jesus Christ away to see Pilate, to be questioned and then executed. Remember Peter who denied Jesus Christ three times? Yes, that Peter. Peter has some learning to do. He did. And in this epistle, and this holy scripture, this he pens not by his own words, but by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us those that receive the message then and receiving it today is true. It's true then as it was then. Remember and do not forget all scriptures inspired by God. Write 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is inspired by God. Amen, right? That phrase can be also called all scripture is God-breathed, right? When we encounter someone who wants to pick and choose scripture and ignore others, let me warn you, that person may have a hidden agenda. If they say something like this, you know they have a hidden agenda. If they say something like this, I only follow the four Gospels because that is Jesus' real words and the rest of the Bible is not correct, meaning they will take scriptures like 1 Peter and 2 Timothy and do not view those as scriptural, as God-breathed. Be aware those people definitely have a hidden agenda. And usually they're trying to justify some form of sin or sins in their life. But I want to tell you, and most of you that have listened to me over the years, you'll know where I'm going with this. All scripture from Genesis to Revelation is what? Inspired. Inspired by God. Not my opinion, but what God's word tells us. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. If it's not a scripture you've memorized, I pray that you have a ton of them memorized, right? Have them tattooed on your heart. Scripture upon scripture. Breathe God's word. Let it flow through your vein. But 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 is a scripture that you should have memorized. All scripture is given. Every scripture is given, right, by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Praise his holy name. Now, when we look at 1 Peter 1, verse 3, under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter mentions in verse 3 a lively hope. Let's read that verse 3 again, and just listen to these beautiful words that God has given us. Bless be the God and Father of our, Peter's saying, those that truly His, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. When we look at that word begotten, it's pointing to who? John 3:16, right? One of the most popular verses memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish but have whatever lasting life or eternal life. Some translations put it eternal life, everlasting life. It's same as pointing to heaven. It's pointing that this life on this earth is only temporary. And guess what? One day it will be no more. And those are truly his everlasting life. Those are truly not his. Isn't Jesus Christ or professing to know Jesus but really denying him inwardly. Not wanting to truly walk with Jesus and live a life separate from this world, they will have everlasting damnation. Heaven or hell, those are the options, no in between grounds, right? But we as children of God, but truly as his, we have this lively hope. And I love how Peter goes into this when he says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's pointing to Jesus Christ as God, the Father. And I love reading through John. It's one of my... I love all scripture, but John's really capitalizes on God that Jesus being the Father. One verse that I just want to point to is John 14:9. And Jesus is speaking to Philip here. He says, Jesus said to him, that's Philip. And of course, it reveals who Philip is. He's one of the disciples at that point in time. Jesus is speaking to Philip. He said, have I been so long time with you, yet has thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How say thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, I am right here. I am physically with you. I've been with you for a while. You have looked up on me, Philip, and have you not got this yet? You see me. You seen the Father. Praise God. Now I know, and this is just one spot of many where Jesus Christ is saying that he is the Father. And oh, I get this. This can blow your mind. It does mine. For our minds are limited. That's a reality. To understand a tri-unity nature of God is hard for us truly to grasp that. But that's okay. I have grasped my limited ability to understand the tri-union nature of God. Now, I try to explain it when somebody asks me, but my words will fail every time. Because I am limited, and God is what? God is unlimited. He goes beyond our mindset. We can't even truly grasp who God is, but we can praise him anyway because he is God and we are not. And we don't need to know everything. We can take that simply knowing that Scripture is God-breathed, every word. And when Jesus said he is the Father, I take that as Scripture because it is. He is the Father and he is God. Fully God, fully man. Do I get it? You better believe I don't. Do I believe it? You know I do. With everything I have, every beat in my heart, until my last dying breath, until they put my head on a chopping block. Hope it don't ever come to that, but if it does, so be it. I profess Jesus as the Father. And Peter is doing this here too. Why? Because when we look at what God has done for us, this whole world, right? We can have a hope, a lively hope. When we look at the cross, the price that was paid for a sinner like me, you, and us, We see the mercy. And Peter here in verse 3, he hits on that mercy. He says, which according to his abundant mercy. Thank God for his abundant mercy. Because of his mercy, he took the cross for me, for you, for us. He paid that price for me, you, and us, for this whole world. He spared us from what we do deserve. We deserve the cross. But he took that. Not just the cross. Before the cross, he endured the scourging, the flogging, the ridicule, the beating. My heart just breaks. Because he had no sin. He was not guilty of anything. If you want to say he was guilty for loving us too much. Can I grasp a love on that level? No. My heart breaks just thinking about it. And my heart breaks when I see others handling or professing, smearing God's name, that mercy, by living lives that God would not approve of. Now, I'm not being judgmental immediately. Today's crowd, they will erupt and scream, don't judge me. Why are you being so judgmental? No, I'm just being real. God calls us to live a holy life, right? In Hebrews, be holy for I am holy. Live a sanctified life. Without holiness, I was trying to think of that scripture in Hebrews. It said, without holiness, no one will see God. That sanctification, guys. Living a life separate from this world, meaning we have to be in this world, but we are never to conform to this world. We are not supposed to be swapping spit with this world. When our day goes by and we haven't talked about Jesus with one person at all during that day for an 8-hour shift, say at work, and we're okay with that, we got problems. You got problems. And you need to repent. But his mercy, Titus 3:5 says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Not by the works of righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 tells us, our righteousness is what? Filthy rags to a holy God. Use tampons to a holy God. Filth. But according to his mercy, not ours, he saves us. Pointing to the cross, right? Thank God for the cross. Thank God for his mercy. See, Peter got the cross. And those listening today in that time, and hopefully today, that it's been preached on enough that we understand that crucifixion was brutal. The Roman soldiers were experts. This was not the first man they crucified. We know that he was more than a man. He was the Son of God. But they were experts. They knew how to crucify, to kill, to torment, to persecute. He was removed from that cross, right? And he was fully dead. Placed in the tomb, in the grave. Third day he rose. Praise his holy name. But the disciples, they were before in that period, that 3 days, what were they doing? They were mourning. They were mourning the death of Jesus Christ because they knew crucifixion was a death sentence. Nobody came back from that until Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though they seen Jesus heal the sick, the lame walk, the blind saw, Lazarus from the tomb rose. He walked on the water, and the list goes on. They were still mourning. He even told them he's gonna kill this temple and he will rise. He told them that he was coming, that they would do what they were going to do, but they did not have that faith, that trust in what he was saying this morning. What was truly going on? They have lost their hope. They're mourning. Everything Jesus told them, they threw it out the window. They're mourning. He is lost. He is gone out of their life physically. And now they're trying to grasp what to do next. And all hope is gone. But oh, when he came back from the dead, when he revealed himself to them, oh, the ultimate hope was reunited, right? That's why Peter can say, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is pointing to the cross. He's saying that was a death sentence. But he rose from the dead. Oh, what lively hope. Oh, what ultimate hope. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 15:19. Said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. What is he saying? He said, if we would put our hope in the physical person, Jesus Christ, walking among them, we would be man most miserable. He would just be another great teacher, another great preacher, another great prophet, another great healer. But no, he was more than that. He was the Son of God. He was prophesied in the Old Testament and throughout the Gospel. Jesus said, I am God. When you see me, you see the Father. I've been the prophets told of me. I am the fulfillment of that prophecy. I am your ultimate hope. The grave could not hold him. Oh, praise his holy name. The grave could not hold him. Do we understand what that means? That is physical life, when we look at it, is only temporary. There is an afterlife. Today could be your last day. But if we have this lively hope, knowing where we're going when we die, then death, that physical death, has no hold on our life. And oh, what chains can break and fall to the ground when you know if you're going to close your eyes and I was going to close my eyes and go to sleep tonight, where you're going. And Peter continues in verse 4 and 5. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible. I mean, there's no sin that is riddled in this. There's no curse in this. And undefiled. And that fade not away, reserved in heaven for you. Man, just think about that. An inheritance that's incorruptible, meaning it's beautiful. There's no sin there. It ain't been defiled by the curse. It fades not away, meaning it does not age. It reserving where? In heaven for you, for me, those that believe, that put their trust truly in Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. There is that word, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, what lively hope we have to know that this life is only temporary, and where we're going is so much beautiful. James 4 13 through 14. That's James 4 13 through 14 says this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and yet and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on morrow. For what? And James presents this question, and I just want you to think about this question. What is your life? What is this physical life right now? James says, it's even a vapor. That's a mist. It's a split millisecond, a mist that appears for a little time, then what? Vanishes away. That is this life, guys. What are you living for? Are you squandering your life for yourself? This is... what are you living your life for? Are you living your life more for yourself? Are you living your life more for Jesus Christ? James 1 verse 8, you go up a little bit before you get to 13, 14. Actually, that was James 4, but James 1 actually, verse 8. And James is such a beautiful book. I encourage you to read it, study it. But he speaks of a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he kind of continues that. He's speaking about faith here. Let's read 6 and 7 too. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God and of the Lord. And then it goes in. A man is unstable in all his ways. Now, the prosperity gospel, they'll take stuff and go crazy with it, talking about the material things in this world. You can ask by faith and receive them. But that ain't what James is talking about here. He's talking about your faith in Jesus Christ, your trust in Jesus Christ. Not living for yourself, but living for the one that has made the change in your life. The one that truly ignites your life and gives you hope within the midst of desperation in this life. A hope that cannot be grasped by this world, although they try to fill that empty hope that this world gives them through the material things that they think they can fill their life with. I'll tell you, if you look at Hollywood stars that have millions and possibly billions, they are miserable. Money, material things can truly not provide hope in your life. You will still be most miserable. Because those things will fade. When you're ultimately facing your deathbed, if you have that opportunity to repent, that some of them, you don't know, you could die in your sleep, but some of them, I pray that they had that opportunity in those last moments to profess Jesus Christ and say, "Oh, I know I have squandered my whole life, but God, forgive me." I know I've squandered it, and I repent. I repent of my sin, open my heart to Jesus. On their deathbed, that could happen, but don't mean it did. And we pray for them, and we pray that they did that, and we pray that they're in heaven. Because you, once again, think of the thief on the cross, right? And I preached on that. That was the last sermon I preached on. It was talking about that ultimate gift. I believe that was my last sermon. Or it might have been the sermon before that. But that thief on the cross, both mocking Jesus at the same time, and then one comes to realization that they deserve, him and that other thief deserve the punishment that they were being executed for, while this man in the middle did not deserve what he was experiencing, what he has went through. And that thief asked for forgiveness, right? And he said, "Remember me in paradise." And of course, Jesus said, "Yes, I will remember you in paradise." Or he said, "Remember me when you die." You know, but he's repenting there. That's the key. Go back and look over those scriptures. He's repenting of his wickedness. He's repenting, and God forgave him right then and there. And guess what? He said, "You will be in paradise." Jesus tells him, "You will be in." So there is that, where we get that deathbed confession. And they could have done that, but I don't know. But I'm telling you today, don't get to that point, because you may not have that opportunity. When you hear the gospel message like you're hearing now, that could be your opportunity to come to Jesus, to receive that ultimate gift, to receive from that gift that ultimate hope. And that hope lies in the mercy that Jesus has exhibited at the cross for each and every one of us. And that is now us to take that by faith, right? The trust and say, "Jesus, you got this. I believe your word. I believe that the sacrifice that you given that I could not pay, by your mercy, you have saved me." And the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he will change your life completely. And you should be okay with that, right? To give up that old life. Because if you truly want to come to Jesus Christ, that old man has to die. And that's just saying, your old life that is against God, a sin that you're committing in your life, or sins, you don't want that no more. You seek his direction, you study his word, you want his guidance. And when we do, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he changes us. And when he does that, there's a fire that ignites in our soul to go out there and to reach others with the gospel. If it's just in our workplace, or if it's where we're at the supermarket, we are united with this lively hope that, as Peter is speaking here, a lively hope to go out there and to tell people that this life is only temporary. We don't place our hope in this world. We place our hope in the one that holds our tomorrow, and knowing when we die, we will be with him. My wife and I, a few weeks ago, we were watching a beautiful movie. The name of the movie was I Heard the Bells of Christmas. Originally was a Longfellow poem transferred into a Christian hymn to a movie. And I want to read this because I want you to listen to the words on this and the emphasis, and I want you to kind of just ponder this hope, this ultimate hope. It says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and a mild and sweet their songs repeat, O peace on earth, goodwill to man. And the bells are ringing, peace on earth, like a choir they're singing, peace on earth. In my heart I hear them, peace on earth, goodwill to man. In despair I bow my head, there is no peace on earth, I say. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to man. But bells are ringing, peace on earth, like a choir sing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to man. Then rung the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor do he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to man. Then ringing, singing on his way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice of China chants salam, salam. Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they ringing, peace on earth, like a choir they're singing, peace on earth. And with our hearts we hear them, peace on earth. Open your heart and hear them, peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, my friend, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. I love how he puts that, how Mr. Longfellow here, Henry Longfellow, puts this. Our God does not sleep, he cares. And our God is coming back soon. And that's how we can have that peace, but also more centered is hope. Through hope we can have peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Right, my friend? Because peace, when we're looking around in this world, everything is falling apart all around us. When we can say, hey God, you got this. I will put my faith in the one that holds my tomorrow. And when we do that, we have a hope that is so strong. Even if what if this whole world, if it gets so bad here in America where they lock people like me up, are you as being a child of the true living God to stand on truth? We can still have that peace and that hope that surpasses the peace that surpasses all understanding, my friend. And the only way you can have that peace is to have that hope, that ultimate hope. And where does that ultimate hope come from? The ultimate gift. Now, closing this out, I just want to ask you today, do you have this ultimate gift? this ultimate hope. If you're listening to this today or whenever you have a breath in your lungs, your heart is still beating. And I'm going to tell you, as Peter was telling us here, you can have this lively hope. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. Last time could be today, could be your last time. When we look at our hope, we look, where did it come from? The ultimate gift. Who is the ultimate gift? Jesus Christ. During this time, during Christmas, we can reflect on little baby Jesus in the manger. The hope of the world, Emmanuel with us. Born of a virgin Mary. Grew as a child. Grew as a teenager. Grew as a man. To walk that path to Calvary. The tree that he was hung on was a tree that he made. Oh, if you think about and ponder the magnificence of our God, it would leave you in awe. But he loves you so much. He does not want to see you to perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe is faith, trust. You look at God, the creator of all. You look what he has done for you and me. Sending Jesus Christ, which is fully God and fully man, to pay a price, a penalty that we deserve, a death penalty at his crucifixion, to suffer the pain that we deserve, not him, for his mercy saves us. Amen. And I have plenty of other salvation, you know, didn't go too deep as I normally would do in a salvation message, but there's more on here. And of course, if you guys have been following this ministry, you know, I preach on sin. I preach on it hard because I'm finding today, many don't preach on sin. They don't get specific. And I get very specific on sin. If you're trying to scratch your head and figure it out, just go and find another salvation messages on this website, and next year, of course, you'll hear more about. I preach on sin because we need to know, understand that we deserve death. And why do we deserve death? We have sin. Jesus Christ had no sin. He was the Lamb of God that take away the sins, the sin of the world. He did not do anything, deserve what he went through, other than to say that I am standing, I am here, I am the Lamb of God, I am here that has been prophesied to make that bridge. To be that bridge, the Father. The cross lies the bridge. And he calls out to each and one of us to cross over to that bridge. To confess his name. And when we say we confess his name, we say, here is my life, God. I know what I have done, and I am appalled. I do not want to live this old life of sin anymore. I want to live a life different from this world. I don't want to live the same. Change me from inside out. My little doggie's barking now. She was quiet all through the sermon, but this last part, she's barking. But man, we look at the cross. We recognize He did that for this world. He did that for you and me, and we have a choice on the matter. And we look at His resurrection. He rose from the dead. And we put all that together, we recognize the supernatural power that's in that. Nobody ever came from a crucifixion alive. He was the only one, and the only one that will. He was fully dead. He rose from the grave. He was seen by the disciples. It changed their lives. And when you look at Acts, there's a passion and a reuniting of their hope. They're mourning Jesus' death because they have lost hope. And then He reveals Himself, and then there is this realization that click. And you know, if we really ever really get this, and I ain't going to profess that I got it all, because I don't want to say something and then not follow through. But when we really get this point that physical death does not matter, in the sense that if I was threatened with my life and following Jesus, I wouldn't back down. If I live, I die, be in Christ. Keep pressing on. Wherever He needs me to be, I'll be there. Regardless of the consequences. And we really grasp that. We start getting laser focused daily on where God needs us to be. I struggle a lot of times with having to, you know, working a full-time job, 40 hours a week, and would love to be in full-time ministry, but God has not opened that door yet. So, but I trust that He needs me to learn something at my job. He needs me to learn something through the scripture. And when He opens that door, I'd rather Him open that door than I open the door myself, because I have learned in the past, I can be my worst enemy. And if He opens that door, He's going to provide all the means necessary. And that's what I want. So where we're at, that is the ministry that God has placed us. We can be a lively hope, a light to those around us. And you probably can hear my wife in the background too now. We can be that lively hope. Alright? That lively hope to those around us. We could be driving down the road and we see somebody and we pull over and God tells us to pull over, and we go and we talk to them. We give them the gospel message, if whatever it may be. And that ministry is just as important as a evangelist preaching to thousands and thousands of people. We really get caught up, right? On what we think God should be doing, and we don't need. He is God. I am not. The most important thing, though, is for you to understand, do you have that ultimate gift? That is that ultimate hope that you can share with those around you, to whoever God has placed in your path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, just get into Your word, Lord. I pray that You guide and You direct as You see fit. with this message. You know who will hear this, and I give it all to you, God. My heart is that somebody hears this and they receive the gospel, or they hear this and they re-examine their life through your scripture. What does scripture tell me? How I'm supposed to live my life? If we truly look at scripture and we go through the lens of scripture, truly go through the lens of scripture and then look at our life, scripture will be enough to convict. And if we don't heed that conviction, then that's on us. Lord, I pray over those that may be going through things during this time of the year. They may be feeling the pressure. Some may have feel the loss of a loved one, a loved ones. They may be feeling the absence of family, physical family. They may have division in their family that is creating a lot of pain. God, we lift them up to you right now. God, we pray over them. Give them strength to keep pressing on. Lord, we pray for those that may be, their body is not feeling well. They're sick. God, we pray over them right now. We lift them up. We pray over those that are financially struggling. They may not have enough food to get through the month. Lord, we lift these people up to you, God. We not know them by name, but we know that you know them, and we know that you can open doors for these individuals to be reached. God, I pray over everyone that's listening right now, Lord, that there's a fire that's ignited in their hearts that may have went out for Jesus. It can be rekindled as long as they open their hearts and truly receive the message that you've laid on my heart to preach this week. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your Son, of course, Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift that gives us the ultimate hope. And always seek avenues to spread that good news. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me on Facebook if you need to. I don't think I even talked about the very beginning of the sermon, but you can reach out to me on Facebook. You can send me a friend request. If you send me a friend request, make sure you reference this website out. On here, there's an email, so you can email me if you need to, you have any questions. But if you do email me, make sure in the subject heading you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. So if it does go into the junk mail, because I don't dictate the junk mail, or over I've seen some that got stuck in junk mail, but I just, by God's grace, I've seen it. Normally through junk mail, I'm deleting it because there's so much junk in there. But if you put something in a subheading line like Crucify for Christ Ministries, I can pick it up. Of course, some of you guys have my phone number, so you can text me. I'm on Twitter a little bit, Instagram a little bit, but not much. But you can reach me that way too. Love you guys. I'll have a good rest of your day, night, weekend, or week. Remember to be a light for Jesus Christ. Love y'all. Bye.